This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:37 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. Going to be moving on to our next story, which is the fact that prisons have been a real pain point for COVID-19 transmission, and overcrowding obviously is one of the main reasons. And so we want to talk now about what needs to be done.
Yeah, we've been hearing about this over and over again from the beginning of the pandemic, right? Now, if we look back to the end of 2020, the Lahad Datu Police Headquarters, as well as the Tawau prison, were among the biggest clusters. And new prison clusters usually account for up to 20% of daily cases. And this goes back to a few things, right? The fact that prisons generally are overcrowded makes the general measures that you'd put in place for the pandemic fairly difficult to keep to. Mm-hmm. And prisoners then and officers are usually infected when they attend court hearings. When they come back, they might infect other inmates because of these intakes. At least that's what the DG theorizes.
So as of October 2020, these are the SOPs. New prisoners need to undergo COVID-19 testing and quarantine. They are sent to hospitals if symptomatic. They are kept in quarantine if tested negative. So in that sense, quite similar to the SOPs that we're seeing for the country at large. A base is also set up near prisons to treat non-critical COVID-19 patients. And there is limited movement within prisons. Family visits are prohibited. And escort officers and inmates have to undergo health inspections before traveling. However, all those things, again, while sounding good on paper, I think don't address fundamentally some of the issues that we're talking about, such as, I mean, at the moment, why is there a need for anybody to be physically present for meetings, right? So we're seeing court cases and hearings go on virtually here as well as abroad. And then just the age-old issue of overcrowding, which outside of COVID-19 is just a public health hazard.
So there have been several suggestions that have been talked about in terms of not just enforcing the SOPs better, but even things like early or conditional release. So back in October, Malaysia's prison department said that about 11,000 prisoners were being evaluated for conditional release so that they could reduce overcrowding. And these were prisoners that were sentenced to a year or below, and had 3 months remaining to serve. However, only 500 prisoners have been known to be released from that.
Yes. So a bipartisan group comprising experts and lawmakers called the All-Party Parliamentary Group Malaysia for the Reform of All Places of Detention recently reiterated the need to release these prisoners. And actually, our guest after this, Liu Chin Tong, who is a senator in Dewan Negara and former Deputy Minister of Defence, is among that group. So we are going to be talking in more detail about what needs to be done, what measures need to be taken, and fundamentally how we can address this issue. If you have thoughts, suggestions, opinion on the issue of prison overcrowding and how it is that perhaps we can instate better measures, better SOPs to prevent COVID-19 transmission within detention centres, do let us know. Send them our way. That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:42. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking now about prisons and how they have been a central pain point for COVID-19 transmission, and overcrowding has been pointed to be one of the main reasons. So we want to talk about the measures that need to be taken to address this issue and essentially whether or not an overhaul of sorts is required to handle this, right? So if you have thoughts, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us on the line is Liu Chin Tong, a senator in Dewan Negara, former Deputy Minister of Defence. He's also part of the All-Party Parliamentary Group Malaysia for the Reform of All Places of Detention. As mentioned earlier, that is a bipartisan group that's calling for prison reforms to prevent the spread of COVID-19. YB, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good.
So, since the outbreak in prison clusters last year, right, back to the topic we're talking about, has there been much improvement in how we prevent the transmission of the virus in prisons?
I think the only thing the government has spoken about is actually SOP, which I think is grossly inadequate. Although on 6th of October, at the height of the Sabah wave or the Tawau prison wave, the prison department came out with a statement and say that the prison department is now gradually releasing 11,000 prisoners who have been sentenced to a jail term less than a year and had a remaining prison term of less than 3 months. Now, that promise or that announcement has not been followed through. We had discussion with the minister on 15th of December in Parliament, Minister of Home Affairs, and also with Prison Department. What we were told was that only 500 out of that 11,000 were released. But that is not solving any problem at the moment.
So, YB, getting back to that call to call for this early or conditional release of those prisoners, why was this move important in the first place?
Well, first of all, our prison capacity is about 52,000. That means our prison can more or less take in about 52,000 prisoners with sort of safety distancing, but not sufficient enough, even with 52,000. But we have usually between 68,000 to 72,000 prisoners on a given day, depending on how many remand prisoners, how many arrested on a particular day. The prison system holds about between 68 to 72,000 prisoners. So we have at least what they call an overcrowding of at least nearly 20%. So even 62,000 under COVID, we will consider that inadequate or already crowded, even under the original intended what they call capacity. But we are constantly overcrowded now by at least 20 to 30%, depending on which prison. Of course, the prisons which are close to cities will have a more serious overcrowding issue. So prisons are overcrowded. They are not hygienic, and they are not supplied with and basically there's not enough space in prison cell. So what do you expect? And this is the situation that we are dealing with at the moment. So there are short-term issues, there are long-term issues. Within the legislative framework or within the legal framework, there are already adequate laws for the government to release prisoners by something called license, release on license, or parole and all these other mechanisms. These are existing mechanisms which has already been what they call legislated. So within that framework, the prison system can easily release those who are minor offender, and they could be released on, I mean, if they have only 3 months more imprisonment, they can be asked to do community service, they can be asked to report to a police station on a weekly basis, they can be asked to do other things without having to spend time in prison during that period of time. The reason is why many of those offenders which are already minor offenders, 60% or more prisoners are actually what they call drug-related. Many are just minor drug crimes, and we could release them based on community service, which is also provided by the law. And that route should be pursued, especially in the context of what they call COVID. Now, in the long run, we will have to start asking ourselves, is this 50 years of war on drugs the right approach? See, U.S. started with Richard Nixon. From Richard Nixon until now, it's about 50 years. And in U.S., people are now questioning whether war on drugs was the right approach, whether criminalizing drug usage was the right approach, or a more medical and psychological approach would be better instead of putting them into prison. I've met many prison officials, and they are all hoping that there will be an enlightened approach. Why? Because they know that prison is a university for minor crime offenders. When they come in, they are just drug users. When they get out after half a year or a year, they actually went through a university education in crime.
So with that said then, and I'm just going to put this forward because there has also been the suggestion to open up additional temporary detention centres. And, you know, what you've just described doesn't exactly match up to that, right? It sounds as if they are two opposing principles.
Yeah. I just hope that those who are in government realise that this opening up more temporary prison is not the solution, because you will actually need more prison guards, which the government is not prepared to provide for. The government is not even prepared to provide money for more frontliner, more healthcare frontliner, more contact tracer. When you open up more prison facilities in the former national service camps and all this, who is going to make money? The people who are going to make money will be the people who have owned national service camps, and this is not going to benefit the prisoner. This is not going to benefit the prison guards. This is not going to benefit ordinary Malaysians. It is not going to reduce crime. I think we private prison is not the solution. The solution is for us to deal with the matter with a short term approach, which is to send those who have only 2 months more to serve, 3 months more to serve, put them on community service. Put people to guard them. Guide them back to the right path. And provide them some employment. I think that will be the short-term approach for 11,000 or slightly more than that number. But long-term is really to re-examine whether this whole thing about war on drugs that actually in our society for the last 40 years since 1980s and in the United States since Richard Nixon, whether that has to be re-examined. Because if we do not re-examine that, we will just open up more private prison that benefits operators of private prisons and actually doesn't help the nation at all.
It looks like a lot of what you're saying points to a need to overhaul or seriously reconsider the way we operate prisons, not just in the short term, but also in the long term. What would this overhaul of our prison system look like?
Actually, putting people in prison is more costly. Let's say putting a drug user, a minor offender, into prison system, or you put them into a counseling center, you put them into a medical facility. It's cheaper to put them elsewhere rather than put them in the prison. They are costs. We have seen costs presented by the prison authorities. The cost of putting the same number of people in prison will cost you 600 million more and ringgit 600 million ringgit more compared to putting them in other facilities. And other facilities means that you don't need the security or you need less security because you're not treating them as criminals. You're treating them as patients and in with a different mindset. Then your cost structure will be very much different. So sometimes I think it's not just about, we are not talking about this from a human rights perspective. We're talking about the efficacy of our solution. And I think we need to relook at this seriously.
So on that note, is there an interest in relooking at it? I mean, is there any real will to get this done or to at least get the process going?
I started writing about prison as a problem in the COVID situations in April last year, before any outbreak of prison. And mind you, actually, the entire Sabah wave started with prison and immigration detention center in Sabah because of COVID cases in the immigration center linked to, after that, it was to the prison and eventually it spread to the community and then spread to Peninsula and resulted in the wave that we are still dealing with. We're still grappling with the same wave started in early September 2020. So the question now is, we have tried a lot. We have tried with the leadership of Azalina Osman, Deputy Speaker of Parliament. We formed this all-party committee on prison and also other detention facilities. We also, through the Speaker of Parliament and President of the Senate, Rais Satim and Ad Harun. We had several meetings. We also had meetings with Hamza Zainuddin, Minister for Home Affairs, in December. But unfortunately, all this has somehow stalled, and we have not seen new ideas coming from the government. The only idea is that by now, the government has recognized that prison is a problem. Prime Minister mentioned in his speech in the last week of January that 19% of prisoners are now COVID patients, or actually are COVID positive. That means we are talking about one in five prison guards and one in five prisoners who are now actually positive since last year. So, I mean, how much longer that we need to wait? How much longer that the government wants to deal with this with a new approach? I don't know. I mean, we have been trying to push, and we hope at some point there will be enlightened responses.
So in terms of at least short-term measures, one of the things suggested by edict is to equip prisons with teleconferencing facilities so that detainees don't have to actually be physically present at court hearings. Is this something that seems viable? Should people awaiting court hearings be detained in prisons at all right now?
I think the first part of the question, yes, the technology or teleconferencing facilities is viable and should have been done nationally. Nationwide, I know that in some instances this has already been done, but not extensive enough. It may cost some money, but it should be done. Should people awaiting court hearing be detained in prison right now? Well, depends on what sort of level of crime. Let's say if certain crimes which are non-bailable, they will have to be detained in a prison. So I think to answer the second part of the questions, it will really depends on what sort of cases. But of course, there are many people who cannot afford to post bail. Should there be detained? That is a question that I think we need the judiciary, we need the police, we need the what they call the prison department, we need the government to have a whole of government approach. So say, for example, certain what they call the people who are charged, they are just not able to pay bail. Should they be thrown into prison or in a billable offense? That is something that I think we need a whole of government approach so that not everyone has to be crowded into the prison. And from what I gather, remand prisoner population is about 20,000 people. And some of them I don't think needs to be there.
So, YB, in closing, if you could leave us, I suppose, with one message, one takeaway about how we need to reconsider or rethink prisons, not just for COVID-19, but as you rightly point out, in general, right, for ethics, for human rights, what would it be?
I would say we need a kinder state. We need, as a society, a kinder society. We need a kinder state. And to be kind is not just to be good to those who are vulnerable, but because anything happened to the vulnerable will have an impact on everyone. Let's say COVID spread in prison guards, their family members, the community will have to pay a price together, which is what we are experiencing. The third wave since September last year started in prison.
YB, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was Senator Liu Chin Tong, former Deputy Minister of Defence. He'll be actually speaking on a webinar tomorrow morning alongside a panel of experts on prison reforms. And you can find out more on G25 Malaysia's Facebook page. In the meantime, if you have thoughts on how we need to reshape and rethink our prisons, not just in light of COVID-19 transmission, but as a whole, right? A lot of these issues, as we keep saying, are ones that have recurred over the years and are now actually at all exacerbated, if at all, by what we're facing. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.